Yo, dude.
Hey, man.
It's the guys.
What's up?
What's up?
Did you just buy that plant to put that in for the shot?
Did I buy the plant? Yeah. This is a mostly dead place. And I was like, I need to put something verdant in the background.
I don't want to look like I'm in prison.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't bring a plant last time, so I'm making up for it now.
So what's new with you? I didn't know you made Sundance, dude. That's amazing. I mean, thanks. It was 5 years ago at this point, but I just found out about it.
I did. Thanks in part to Willie. Willie lent his body for the performance in the beginning of it.
What, really?
I will say that Danny Jelinek says that the only reason it got into the Sundance was the first 20 seconds of this, and Willie is the main bit of the first 20 seconds. So it's like, even though he's a dead body, it's a very funny, jarring dead body.
It's about like kind of a haunted house, right?
Yeah, it was this. Yeah, because I just moved into this house in Echo Park, and we still didn't have furniture. And then so
love that. Take advantage of it. Yeah.
I was like, before we fill this with, you know, cheap mid-century modern furniture, let's see what we can shoot. And it was kind of interesting because it's like, because it was an old house, but the way it was designed was like, you could kind of, from the front door, you could look through and see, you know, seven rooms into the back of the house. And so you could kind of have people staggered in different rooms, but not talking to each other, and that was kind of funny. So it's like it lent itself to visual depth and stuff like that.
I was watching a show called Your Honor with Bryan Cranston. Do you guys watch that?
I have not.
I think it was in Baltimore, Maryland, or DC, or something. And it sounds like, I just never had heard this description before of a house called a shotgun house, where you can see from the front to the back. So if you could fire a shotgun, you could like hit the end.
Yeah. And
was it kind of like that?
It was kind of like that. It was like a bungalow, but yeah, the left side of it was almost designed like a shotgun house. Or I think a shotgun house, I don't know for sure, but I think they're basically just super narrow and
like one of those
one
bars
behind the other. Yeah, yeah.
Right. What? But, where are you from originally?
I'm from Virginia originally.
So you would know if there's such a thing as a shotgun house.
Like, yeah,
is that something you've heard before?
It's like a Deep South thing. They have them up in like Virginia and North Carolina, which is where I've spent most of my time. But there's, I think that's more like a. I don't want to talk out of school. I don't want to Google that.
It did feel like a Southern thing. But then I was like, well, he's a judge. I'm sure that the city is like a fourth character or whatever, and I just missed that point. But like, it's not bad. His son, he's a judge, and his son accidentally kills someone. That's the premise.
Gotcha.
Word.
Yeah. And there's mafia guys. It's pretty cool.
It was the most popular style of house in the southern United States from the end of the Civil War, 1861-65, through the 1920s. I don't know why that would be the most popular style. It's because it's interesting because it's
easy
like from
to build.
The front. Yeah, probably easy to build and just, yeah. You could probably fit a bunch of them onto like one. Instead of having a wide house, you could like make the most of, you could stack houses next to each other, I guess.
Yeah, just like all these. Just make one type of house and sit them all next to each other.
Yeah,
you know exactly how big.
I was at one of my friends doing real estate in Colorado Springs, and he was showing off his son that did a write up, who's getting into real estate also of this property. The thing that weirded me out was it was a big property with just a duplex trailer on it with a huge driveway. Mm. And I'm like, you know, I grew up in a mobile home, and when I was a senior in high school, we moved into the same place. We just got a new trailer. So they pulled out the old one, put a duplex in, and, you know, it had drywall on it, so it felt like a house. But them driving it over, all the walls cracked because it like they weren't meant to. Drywall wasn't meant to drive around town.
Oh my gosh! Wow. But this was in Denver, or where was it?
Just about an hour north of Denver, Loveland.
Got it.
And so it's just funny to look at this huge plot of land with just a trailer on it. I'm like, dude, like just build a garage. That would take that would take nothing to build just a wooden garage. It doesn't even need to be. They've got weather, hail, and snow. You just have a trailer with a huge parking lot spot and a big dirt lot. I'm just like, who the fuck decided that, you know, it's cheap.
I got on this weird track where I've never been someone who's had a lot of money, but I had a brief moment in, at a brief string of jobs where it was like, you know, I had a few thousand in the bank and I'm like, savings, I could do something with this. And me and Christian Klein, we talked about like a friend of ours had gotten some land out in Wonder Valley in Joshua Tree because it was
I thought about it too. It was like 2,000 for
it was like a lot of repossessed land that was like you could get it for you get 5 acres for $5,000. So it's like land was literally
repossessed because it's like meth labs or something that they took over.
I think so, or it was just because there were large swaths of land and they were just kind of subdividing them into 5 acre lots.
They're not connected to water or electricity or normally or like roads, but
And it's so hard that's what you have to pay for. And that's like the, you know, it's like, you have the land for 5,000, whatever, but then you have to pay 50 or 60 to just get.
Yeah, I thought about doing that, getting a little something that you could pull out there and sleep in.
I think Karen Clancy did that. I don't know if you know them, but the
is that Tom Clancy's daughter?
No, it's just someone in the 101-ish circles somewhere. But yeah, I don't know. I know a couple people that have done the buy a little bit of land out in Joshua Tree and then put a trailer on it and then Airbnb that out, and then eventually the idea is that it pays for itself. But yeah, I don't know, but I haven't checked in with anyone.
What did you end up doing? Did you not end up pulling the trigger on that stuff?
No, I think I made a short instead.
Right, it's
with your money
because
yeah,
you're definitely gonna have people out there on your property. You know,
I'm not joking. I feel like spending money to make a short is better than having an Airbnb in fucking Wonder Valley or whatever you call it.
Yeah, no, maybe. This one was, I think this is like one, like if you look back, I wonder what the percentage is looking back on like all the shorts and stuff I've made, like how many of them I would say were like worth it or like led to some other positive thing in my life, you know,
right.
Whether it was money or a festival or meeting people or that kind of thing. But I mean,
well, what's your average budget for a short? And then like, list their success rate up until currently. Like, are you making something now?
I don't have a short that I'm planning right now, but I submitted something to the Vimeo Film Grant just like just to have something in there, but we'll see. I mean, typically
see, that's the stuff that I don't even know about that.
I don't know about that stuff either. The word grant freaks me out a little bit because then I'm now I have to answer to somebody.
No, it just means free money, dude. It just means free money.
Didn't work out. We didn't make it. Didn't work out.
Sorry. Sue us.
But
TikTok video. Here you go. This is what we made.
Yeah. I mean, the most, last year I made a short with Andre Hyland. I don't know if you know who that is.
I know the name.
He does this character Jesse Miller talk show. He's a very funny guy. But he we made a short on a farm, and so we had to rent out the farm for like a day and a half, and so that was I think that was maybe like a $3,000 short film, and that's probably the most expensive I've made.
Okay, next time you need to rent out a farm, I just got back from Florida. My aunt lives on a defunct farm and it's just like abandoned buildings everywhere. So just get like a $500 plane ticket out there. I'll give you the address.
Yeah, that's the thing. If on the, especially in the Southeast where it's just kind of like, you know, not much film happens around them, like people just are just more open to like filming stuff on their land and aren't like my sister filmed a music video at this like old life-saving station in the Outer Banks, and she's a musician. I don't know, we can go down a deep dive on that if you want, but she filmed this music video basically renting out, think of it as a lighthouse or a lighthouse basically. She didn't have to rent it, they did it for free because they're like, oh, you want to film here? And they
A
just
whole lighthouse?
it's called a life-saving station, so essentially it's like kind of living quarters, but like had yeah it used to be like kind of like a lighthouse.
I've seen Ozark. Is there anything in there that I could
Well,
is that
I
Outer Banks?
the Outer Banks, the Outer Banks is all right.
It's
It's
just swamp, right? It's just swamp
fam
stuff.
so the eastern co the east coast of North Carolina, if you look at it on a map, it's actually a thin ribbon of barrier islands that are like about less than a mile thick all the way down. And so if you've heard of things like Hatteras or Kitty Hawk or Nag's Head, those are kind of, or Kill Devil Hills, those are the famous places. So it's But it literally this thin barrier islands, they extend out to the ocean, and it's, if you look at satellite images of it, it's you're like, how is this not talked about more often? Because it's just very bizarre how thin they are and how far out from the mainland they are. It just yeah
What
it
did, is there a road that goes to it? I
yeah
have to boat
the,
out to it.
There's a road that goes down it, and then but for some parts of it, like if you go to Ocracoke, you have to go by ferry typically, but you could drive to it. But
Oh, I
it's
believe it's pronounced Ocracoke. Have you
Ocracoke,
ever been on that road that drives over the ocean? It's just like a bridge. I think it was in a Mission Impossible movie, but it's just like a long bridge sitting over the ocean.
yeah. In North Carolina or
I
Virginia?
don't know where it's at. I feel like it's probably off of Florida, but
I think I think someone was telling me the longest bridge over water is somewhere down there, like
The
Alabama, I
longest
think.
the longest bridge tunnel is actually in Virginia, which is the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. It goes all the way across Chesapeake Bay Bridge, and I think it's, I don't want to talk out of my
It's got to
ass
be
on.
over. It's got to be over 2 miles,
Oh yeah, it's
which is so weirdly scary to go through.
It is 17.6 miles.
Are you fucking kidding me? What?
So it goes above water, goes underwater, goes above water, goes
Oh, it's like
underwater.
a slide. It's like a water slide. That's fun.
Yeah, it takes a while to get across the whole thing, but it is like it is freaky when you're in the tunnel part of it. You're like, I am out here. Like
Wait, it's a tunnel and it's underwater?
It's a bridge tunnel. So the tunnel goes underwater, and then it'll come up and then be an above water bridge and then go back under.
Fuck
It's
off,
for
man. I didn't know.
17,
That sounds like
17.6
sci-fi.
miles. Yeah. And in Chesapeake Bay.
Well, so speaking of like growing up out there, and you made a short about haunted houses and stuff like that, is it haunted out there? Did you have any ghost stories out there?
I have tons of ghost stories. I'm
Have
like
you told them to us before? You've done the
I
show before, haven't
haven't.
you?
I've done this before, but
We talked about the first, I mean, the
we
first
talked about me.
settlers.
Yeah, we talked about the Lost Colony in the Outer Banks, and then we talked about I grew up Quaker, but we talked about that too.
Oh my God, I don't remember that. Wow.
I'm glad you don't, because my memory of it, I didn't even listen to it, but if I listened back to it, my memory of it was I was like I had a bunch of notes, and I was like, oh, I'm just trying to keep this on track and get all the information out. I wasn't in the conversation mode of it, and I was like,
But Quakers have that thing where you go and you like it's almost the Costanza, like you bring up your gripes or whatever, right? Like, isn't that kind of the same thing?
you can. I mean, the
You
cons
go
the
to the town hall
concept.
and you're like, I don't like this about people. And then they're like, okay, you've said your piece, right? Isn't there a Quaker thing like that?
The main concept is that they were really quick. They don't believe in ministers. They came around in the 1600s, so their big crazy thing was like, we don't believe in
Awesome.
ministers, we're all ministers. So instead of having pews facing forward, they have four sides of pews facing each other, and you sit in silence for an hour, and if you want to stand up and say something, you feel moved by the light or God or whatever, you want to speak out some
and
truth.
It's like, Jim stole my leaf blower.
That would be yours, but I think most people's are like, you know, I was, they tend to be like very, you know.
I had an epiphany when I...
The last one I remember was like a woman talking about like, I write to this prisoner in jail and I often don't understand what he's saying back to me. I think he's mentally ill, but we did happen on a point of connection. And then she told a story about like the point of connection they reached through her prison pen pal.
And then it was good because of God in some way.
I don't remember. No, it's more like
it was bad because of God. I just don't understand God now because I can't talk to this crazy man in prison. Why won't God open up the lines of communication for me?
I think the main thing of Quakerism is they believe that everybody has a part of God inside of them. And so that's why everyone gets a chance to stand up and say something if they feel like God is speaking through them. And
hey,
so
by the way, I'm sorry not to cut you off.
No, please.
But it just reminded me of I didn't know about this movie called The Neighborhood Watch with the guy who's in everything now, the Quaid, the little Nepo Quaid.
Jack Quaid.
Mm-hmm. And I think Negan from Walking Dead. You know Negan? He's got the baseball bat called Lucy or something. And he's like, I'll crack your skulls.
It's
really good. Don't watch Walking Dead. It's like, but I think it's called The Neighborhood Watch, and it's really good. It's about like they never say he's schizophrenic, but like he's got stuff going on, and like it's cool. It's really good.
Wouldn't it be great instead of diagnosing people with schizophrenia, we just say they've got stuff going on.
Yeah, you just have to find the right job for them. And Neighborhood Watch for someone with schizophrenia is actually pretty good.
He's got stuff going on. Some of it you can't see.
But, that's why he's perfect to watch our neighborhood. Yeah. He's the most paranoid, delusional man.
He sees everything, even stuff that's not there.
Yeah. So tell us your best ghost story then.
All right. My best ghost story is, let me think. Well, here's one. So I used to go to a summer camp in Virginia called Camp Hanover, and it was a good portion of the summer camp was also shared what was the a lot of land that was the battleground for Cold Harbor, which was a battle in the Civil War, which is one of the bloodiest battles. The famous statistic from it is that 7,000 people died in the first 20 minutes. Which sounds like nothing to us now, but if you imagine back then where it's all like people getting stabbed and, you know,
most towns didn't have 7,000 people. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just brutal. It's so heartbreaking. But, so that on a corner of this, there was a trail that went through our camp. That was also a camp that was used both by the Union and the Confederates as a trail in and out of Cold Harbor. And so one side would hang, you know, the dead of the other side, like over the trail and everything. Anyway, so this trail still goes through Camp Hanover, and there's lots of ghost stories in Camp Hanover, but there was one set of cabins that was right by the trail, and they had the most ghost stories. One of them was that a counselor woke up in the middle of the night, and they hear this banging sound on the outside of the cabin. And so they open their eyes, they look around, and they don't see anything outside of the windows of the cabins. They go back to sleep, and then a few seconds later, the banging sound returns. So they wake up, and they stand up, and they go outside looking for the source of the banging sound. And they walk all around the cabin, and they see nothing. And then they keep hearing it, so they do a second round. And on their second round, they flash their flashlight, and they see a one-armed Confederate soldier just slamming itself against the side of the cabin. And then it turned and looked at them, and then it disappeared.
Wow.
When that story was told to me, and I was a counselor at camp, that scared the shit out of me.
Did you see anything like that?
I can't say that I did.
Do you think that the guy was just like, my arm hurts so much. Maybe if I smash my face against the wall, I'll stop thinking about my arm. That would be awful if like you're a ghost, but like your wound hurts forever.
You know how like when you your arm gets cut off and you have the phantom limb feeling?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, maybe when you die, you have phantom life. It's like just misses living so much.
I researched a little bit of this and I was trying to look for what the possible origins for a story like this are. But...
Wait, let's jump into it then.
Like, okay, okay.
Like, what's the, like, I don't care about the WoW scale that much.
Okay.
We can do it real fast.
WoW scale. Are you wed or are you willing?
Do you believe in aliens?
Maybe.
Do you believe in Bigfoot?
Not really.
Was 9/11 an inside job?
Probably not.
What about the multiverse? Do you believe that that could be a possibility?
That seems the most plausible of the things. Yeah.
Ghosts?
But I don't know. Ghosts? Yes, but only in specific ways. Like the idea that like energy cannot be created nor destroyed. So maybe some sort of energy or whatever is left behind, and that manifests sometimes in some kind of like, you know, you might get a flash of
like, listen, forgive me because I'm Gen X and I don't play by the rules, but like they would be like retarded, right? Just like ghosts who are retarded because they don't have all of the energy. They're missing one chromosome of energy.
Yeah, sure. They're missing one chromosome. or it's just there's
So ghosts, every ghost that exists is just a part of a person, and they can't function anymore. They're just like, this is what I remember how to do. I remember to sit in this chair and look at this window.
I think I believe more in R word ghosts than I do in like ghosts that like will show up to tell you something bad is about to happen.
Yeah, conscious that they're conscious and making choices.
Yeah,
I don't buy that stuff. Like I would say like I think psychics and mediums are the most exploitative people in the world, and I really
I think the most exploitative are CEOs, but
yeah
psychics and mediums we go to put
but
in
at least
one. They're taking
at least
their $20
they do it
an
to
hour.
Your face. That's true. I guess maybe I need to reorient my triage of evil, but I do really hate the concept of psychics. It really bothers me. I mean, as long as they're not hurting anyone, but I hate the thing of like, you know, I've heard multiple stories of people like just people with a lot of money, like their psychic become, you know, the psychic
yeah, they
sees
become,
them as a
it's
payday
like, yeah,
and
yeah,
they become
yeah.
dependent
yeah.
on the psychic.
Yeah.
It's like, what was that? Oh, God. What was the.
But also, it's kind of like, good for you, fleecing that rich idiot. If that rich idiot is going to give you like $1,000 a week just to be there, like. What were they called? Soothsayers or like back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
I just say like take it away from rich people any way you can, but leave the elderly alone.
Yeah. That's where I am. I think taking advantage of the elderly is really awful, but I don't know. Anyway, so that's where I am on the scale of I'm mostly skeptic with a little bit of hope that some things exist, but I tend to go towards skepticism more than.
But Willie was telling me that you're kind of on his side with this one, and I don't even know what we're talking about. What is this? What are we talking about?
All right.
Are we talking about ghosts in some way?
Yeah, we're talking about ghosts, and I'm. So we were originally when I talked to Willie, we were going to talk about Civil War ghosts because I grew up in a place where there's a lot of Civil War ghosts and Civil War stories. And then the more research I was doing into it, I feel like I may have stumbled into a thing where someday I'm going to have to write a book about all this. But I have a thesis that I'm going to read this out to you. You tell me what you think about it. Essentially, I believe that ghost stories, whether you believe them or not, believe in ghosts or not, I think many ghost story archetypes transcend cultural boundaries, often traveling through time and migration to take root in new places. And the kinds of ghost stories told in a region can reveal its buried histories, the cultural lineage of its people, and the specific fears and preoccupations that shape collective memory. So when someone witnesses something not really easily explained, whatever specific explanation they fill in the twilight zone gap of, you know, what they know and what they don't, whatever they fill that with, whether it's ghosts or demons or vampires, whatever, it largely reveals a lot about that person and their belief system and their cultural background and their fears, more than it, maybe even more than the reality of whatever it was.
Like they're projecting something, or it's like,
yeah.
So wait, is this based on the person seeing it?
I'll give you an example. So when you think about ghost story archetypes, the easiest example is like the woman in white. That's like that is in almost every culture. There is a woman in white. So like when I went to Camp Hanover, the ghost story that happened was there was an old house that was on the camp, on the campsite. And this woman in the 1800s, she left to go to the market, and she left her toddlers to fend for themselves in the house. And then when she returned, the house had burned down. And then now, if you were now in the woods at night, if you see a light wandering around, you know that that's the woman in white who wanders around the lake, the camp lake, looking for her lost children.
Yeah, and you've heard the story. And, it, you know, I'm going to piggyback on what you're saying and go like, one thing that always shocked me that I had heard about the First Nations people the first time modern boat ever came over, you know, let's say Columbus, whatever. Somebody was saying they may not have been able to see the boats because they'd never seen them before. They wouldn't know what to think of them. And so like, sure, they would see it, but it'd be out there on the ocean. Their brains would almost define what they were looking at before they see it. So it wouldn't be a boat. It would be something tied into their belief set. Oh, it's a god. Oh, it's the god of the ocean.
Something I've heard a lot about, I forget which specific Native American tribe it is, but there's one tribe that would talk about, I think it was in the Southwest, where they believed in a race of giants that would paddle canoes in the sky. And if you looked up, you could see the bottom of their canoes. And people have pointed to that as evidence of UFOs. Of like, oh, even the Native Americans saw UFOs because they didn't know how to describe a UFO other than that's the bottom of a canoe in the sky.
Yeah.
Could it have been a cloud? Were they used to clouds? Did they know about clouds?
Were they used to clouds? I don't know if anyone ever gets used to clouds. It's just
they're an enigma, man. They're there 1 minute and then they're gone. Sometimes they look like a dog and then they change into your ex.
Yep.
I do like the idea of everything paranormal is defined by the culture that you grew up in.
Exactly.
It's like a prism, right? Like you're looking through, you're kind of like, yeah, something weird could have happened, but the reports that we're getting are all going to be skewed because of what people know and how to describe it.
Yeah, it's referencing even just like things that might tap into a fear of your culture or something. So like another example of like a lady in the lake thing, that was my localized version in our summer camp in Virginia. But when you're out here in the Southwest, the one you hear about a lot is La Llorona, which is the Mexican legend, but also told in other places in Central South America, which is the woman who in a moment of rage or despair, often due to betrayal by a lover, drowns her children in a river and, overcome with grief, kills herself. And then so she's condemned to wander the earth for eternity, and her ghost is said to weep while searching for her lost children, often near bodies of water. And so and then I had a roommate out here who told me too that like when she was growing up, La Llorona was like a woman in white who was walking alongside a road or that you shouldn't pick up, or a woman in white who's walking alongside a body of water. But then also if you left, she said her parents would tell her if she left the faucet dripping, that they'd be like, no, you have to close the faucet all the way. Otherwise, La Llorona can come get you. Like she could shapeshift through water or something.
A lot of the Filipino lore, sure, it's about infidelity. They have monsters too out there, you know, like like giant snakes and weird animals that will eat your children if they get outside.
Here's my question about that before you get into it. What was the Philippine culture before Christianity?
Before like, white people?
Fucking, yeah.
Well, do you count Spain as white people?
Yeah.
Yes, right?
Sorry.
Because the Spanish are like the worst white people.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Like the Spaniards.
Just kidding. It's the English. We all know
the Spaniards brought Catholicism over there, and they're just really overly. Yeah.
Do you think that had a part to it? Because it's like infidelity and like shit that like I don't know if infidelity needs to be taught. Like you know how the Ten Commandments are like, yeah, duh. Like I'm not going to do any of that shit. I know that I shouldn't kill a person. But do I have to be taught not to cheat on a woman if my religion, culture, however, I think
maybe that's what I'm tapping into of like what ghost stories serve as, which is almost like cautionary tales of how to not become a wandering spirit. Like right. I don't know enough, but I know that like in Vietnam, a way that the American soldiers would really screw with the Viet Cong is they would play recordings that would sound like ghosts of fallen comrades, because there was a huge thing in their belief system that if you died improperly or weren't buried the right way, that you would wander forever. And so it's like it was deployed as a tactic to mess with the enemy's mind, these recordings that they would just blast out in the world.
Right. And that just really
it's a pretty
fucks
funny
people.
Thing to do.
Yeah, right. I wanted to add though that my closing of the whole reason why I brought up this Filipino shit is because the Philippines doesn't recognize divorce. You're not allowed to get a divorce.
Wow.
And so like my mom's green card's fucked up because she got remarried and has a new name, and the Philippines is like, well, we can't issue you a new name. You got married and this is your name.
Wow.
And so like her passport doesn't match her ID. And it's
they took the Catholicism to heart. Like,
yeah. And it's like, dude, this is law. 15 years of her trying to change her green card might get her deported. I mean, you know, crazy times.
Wow. I was going to say final note on La Llorona. I also read somewhere that the idea of this woman who's killed her children or has betrayed her children, now she's wandering forever, might also be based on Doña Marina, who was Hernan Cortez's enslaved native wife. And so Hernan Cortez, as he was conquering South America, he would use his enslaved wife to translate. And so people, you know, point to her as like a complex figure of, you know, whether she was a traitor or a betrayer or was, you know, or if she didn't have a choice or whatever. But I read somewhere that also the idea of La Llorona is sometimes tied to this figure of like a figure of betrayal that is now forced to wander searching for her children that she betrayed. I also look back and apparently in Greek mythology, there was Medea. There was a Greek tragedy called Medea, where it's the story.
Don't tell
of the
Tyler Perry
wife.
This. it's gonna ruin his.
It's his inspiration.
Medea kills her children. She was.
Wada waga. Doesn't she talk? She talks like funny, right? She's like waga baga. You're like Medea. Can you make me a pop tart? And she's like pata. What's a pata? Right. That's Medea.
I'm hard pressed to remember if I've seen any Medeas outside of a trailer.
I watched one full Medea movie just to make a 2 minute why I got the lowest points in fantasy football 1 year. I named my team after Medea, so I had to watch. It was like, dude, I didn't even know which one. There was a bunch of people in our house. I don't know. Witness protection, maybe.
I feel like I saw part of Medea go. Does she go to jail? Is that?
I don't know. I don't think so. Uh-huh. Does she? Medea goes to jail in witness protection. Anyway,
I feel like I remember seeing her in an orange jumpsuit at some point. But I'm wondering if I'm confusing her and Ernest.
Well, Ernest definitely went to jail.
Ernest went to jail for sure.
But Ernest has done it all.
Ernest did everything.
I wish he was still alive, man. Can you imagine Ernest fights a ghost? They never did a ghost thing with Ernest.
Ernest would have a show on Netflix. Is that the Halloween one?
Must be.
I know he went to camp. I know he sold orange juice.
He saved Christmas, I think, once.
Definitely saved Christmas.
Did he save Hanukkah?
I don't know that. Well, come on, no. I
thought he was an all sides guy.
You know, I want to, looking into some of this stuff and realizing that the most haunted place in America is Gettysburg. You say, yeah. Gettys or Geddes? Geddes?
I say Geddes.
Gettysburg. Yeah, that's one.
You say
of them.
Gettysburg? Gettysburg?
I don't know. I just have never. I don't really hear people
say.
Like,
yeah, I feel like there's always a running list of southern cities claiming to be the most haunted place in the U.S. That there's a, and then you'll hear like Salem, Massachusetts, and you're like, well, yeah, of course that's haunted too, I guess.
Yeah, because you guys were dicks.
But you think, yeah, exactly. That's the whole. That's what I was leading to. Is like, okay, well, in our current history, our current version of what we shape our paranormal stories with definitely has something to do with not being buried properly. And this probably stems from early years more than now, because mm-hmm. they didn't have cremation when ghost stories were being made.
Yeah.
But not being buried properly, dying too quickly is always a thing. It's like, oh, they died without knowing it. It wasn't like they were part of the death process. Their body didn't accept the old age. And, you know, if you hear about people dying in old age, it's like at some point they know that their body's shutting down, which is a weird thing to have to experience. Anyways.
Can you imagine? I cannot wait for that liberation of just knowing. Oh, I'm looking forward to it so much.
I know. I'm
just like,
is this
laying in
right
bed
now?
And
what,
just like,
is my arm? What the heck? What is this?
I never have to do this again. I don't have to worry about anything again. Oh, what a dream. I just visited two very elderly people, and like, I'm like, wow. If you can get over the fear of that end of times kind of thing, it must be just kind of the best, you know?
Yeah.
Outside of like hurting all the time and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, I don't know how y'all feel about it. I always feel like I'm switching between, like, sometimes I feel my age, but maybe that's like 10% of the time. And then it's like half the time I feel like I'm 14, and the other half of me feels like I'm 80. Like, there's
really, like 14. I feel like I'm like 25 sometimes. I don't think I mean, ever like, feel like I'm 14. I'm just confused about girls and stuff.
Maybe the 14 thing is like the just walking into a place and like not knowing it, or like being
the social
anxiety that comes with teenage years.
Oh, that's my whole life. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That doesn't really go away for me either. But the, it's like flip flopping between that and just feeling like I don't want to talk to anyone today. I just want to be at home and reading a book or something.
Yeah. Old age. You get that for like 10 years.
It sneaks
it's
up.
It's
going to
be amazing.
That's why crosswords were a thing. It's like nobody cared about doing the crossword. It's just like, I'm busy.
yeah. I love that.
He's doing his crossword.
No. What do you love?
Oh, no. I mean, I also fantasize about the day of like, you know, there's always like a crotchety old man character that, you know, that the kids are all scared of, but then eventually they befriend him kind of thing. Like,
yeah, he's got a heart of gold. Yeah.
I want that exact thing to happen.
Scary German guy made his cake, Monster Squad.
But it's like, you know,
it's going to be harder for us to be scary because we don't have accents. Unless Skibbity Toilet takes off and then we just don't know. We don't know what Ohio means.
I think the scariest thing about Scary German Guy from Monster Squad is that he had a whole cake just sitting at his house.
Well, this is kind of a deep pull. I mean, we all should know Monster Squad, but I don't know it that well.
I actually don't know it either, and I was pretending I did.
Well, it was kind
so
of like
it's
the
just
next...
it's just me like bragging that I'm 2 years younger than you. And
well, I you know, for me, Monster Squad, I knew I was too old for, and I knew they were trying to make a Goonies, and so it's kind of like cheesy.
Okay, never mind. I remember Monster Squad.
But, and it was made for a younger audience than me, but I still liked it, even though I was like, you guys didn't really do a good job.
Go on.
Oh no, it was just a complete set. I have no bit here or anything. I just suddenly remembered. Remember Howie Mandel was in a movie that was called like Little Monsters or something
Yeah, Little
Monster.
Monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I remember is there was at some point where to create light, they like he like put two like ends of a phone cord together and it made a spark and that somehow saved the day.
I'll say this, that was the most confused I've ever been about Howie Mandel's career because I don't know why I knew who Howie Mandel was. Because this, you got to realize, growing up, he was just like a stand-up comedian who somehow got a lot of heat, and I don't know why. He was just around, and then he hosted that show or whatever, and that made him like years later, he hosted, what did he host? Like the
Deal or No
briefcase
Deal.
show or something?
Suitcase.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Deal or No
yeah.
Deal.
He
But
was in a bunch of movies that they were trying to make him be a Robin Williams. He was in movie Walk Like a Man, where he was a guy raised by wolves.
I remember the cover of that. I never watched
And
it.
then
That might
he
be on the, maybe I should watch that tonight.
I think
I
his
mean,
main
it's
shtick was he would like put a rubber glove over his head
exactly.
and do that
Yeah.
thing. And
Yeah. Oh,
then
he
I
does that
remember he had
in
a
that movie. Yeah.
he but how I came across him was he had a kid's show called Bobby's World.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I remember that was like one of the few we
I wonder
only
if
had like
Bobby's
three
World was
channels.
first. Like, I just never understood why Howie
No.
Mandel was like this weird monster who was like blue and stuff. Like, you couldn't even
Yeah.
see that it was
He
Howie
did
Mandel.
wacky voices in his stand-up. So Bobby's voice,
That's what it
Bobby's World,
was.
was a voice he would do on stage.
That guy must have amazing agents. Like, why Howie Mandel? Like, I still am confused
I know,
why
dude.
Howie
I know.
Mandel. For 40 years, we've been
It's
dealing
like
with Howie Mandel.
I'm
I'm
just
sure
going
he's a
like
nice guy.
cocaine is his shtick, right? I mean,
Well, if he's trying to be a Robin Williams, then yeah, I mean, that's his whole thing.
I don't know if he did cocaine, but he's just hyper guy.
Yeah,
I don't
he
think
was
he
high
could.
energy. He walked so Dane Cook could run.
Oh my God. So now it's just a string of these guys. But like, can you imagine if we had Dane Cook for 40 years? Like, we have Howie Mandel for
If
four
we got
years.
Dane Cook for a kids show, Dane Cook hosting a,
Yeah,
yeah.
if he hosted a show that got big, Dane Cook, and it's just like, well, this is just life now.
But then
I mean,
suddenly he's
give it another
bald
10
and
years. Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly. And
that
that's
was
the
the
whole
weird
thing.
part too. It's like, oh, this is a completely different human being that's
Right. It doesn't
hosting
even look
this.
like the guy. Like, and now we all know that he's a germaphobe, and that's important somehow. I'm just like, why do I know this about Howie Mandel, man? I don't want to know anything about this guy.
Yeah, like, well, whatever. I fist bumped him and I was like, you're germaphobe. You don't need to fist bump everybody.
Yeah, it seems almost worse. It's like because
Yeah.
you have little hairs there that like that can catch on to
I'm like, you
germs,
wouldn't
I
have
guess.
shaken the whole room's hands, so why are you fist bump?
Yeah.
Anyways,
Well, I think it's interesting that like if I'm a germaphobe, I shake people's hands and then I use the back of my hand to like touch my face to like wipe my snot or something. But now I'm fist bumping that on to everybody. So I think that backfired. Like, your move, germaphobes. What are you going to do now? The elbow thing. Remember during COVID, you do the elbow thing to people? That was never
Yeah.
like a, it didn't take off, but I
It
did
was
it a few
never
times.
like the bump was somehow, fist bump was somehow accepted as like, oh, this is almost kind of like, this is almost
Just a
cool.
connection. Yeah.
It's almost
It's
what
like,
cool people did. But like the elbow thing was always
oh, the
like,
cool thing,
oh,
yeah.
should we? Oh, okay, fuck. There was no
That
other way that didn't happen any other way. No one was like, all right,
was like
man.
yeah,
Like,
trying to
no one
be
did.
cool. You can't look
While being
cool.
awkward.
Well, we need a rapper to like make elbow bumping cool somehow, and then we'll all know how to do it.
Yeah.
So do you think like, but here's what I don't like about the Civil War soldier guys being
No.
ghosts.
All right.
If I die in battle, that's, is that not the right, is there not a more valiant way to die? Like, shouldn't that take your entire soul? Like, why would you be a ghost if you died in battle?
I don't
Regardless
know.
of what you're
If you're
fighting for.
in the Civil War, if you're fighting in the Civil War, you know you have a better chance to die. So, like, are you not more prepared for death than like somebody who fell off a set of stairs?
I don't think
And
any of us
don't give me
ever
any of this
super ready.
burial shit, man. I don't buy any of that shit because like in the history of the world, like there's been a lot more people not buried than buried, right?
No, but I mean, I think for me, I believe like maybe just like intensity of emotion or something, where it's like, you know, you have places, you have your old haunts in LA, like maybe there's like a bar you went to once where you had a bad date and it, you just can't even look at the bar the same way or something like that. Or
right,
like,
and if I died on that day,
on the most extreme level,
I died like, on that.
If you died at Star Wars, that shitty Star Wars bar on Sunset.
If you died at Jay's bar, place. You know.
I love the ghost story that you told, because here is a ghost story where the ghost is aware of you.
Yeah.
There's so many where they're not, where it feels like, oh, this is something on repeat. I heard a couple stories of one of them, these soldiers were walking around a car, which happens a lot. But they like looked at the driver, and I'm like, this is fucking weird that what I think is some loop has an awareness to it, which is weird.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Teslas? I think it's Teslas. You just reminded me of this video that I saw where someone's driving. They know this place is like allegedly haunted or whatever. So they drive their Tesla through it. And Tesla has that screen where you can see like cars or whatever in front of you. And I guess there's people too. And so they're driving through this. It's completely abandoned. And there's all these people on the screen. They're like looking at their screen. There's all these people around the car on their screen.
That's cool.
Have you seen that? I mean, that's...
No, that is cool.
Well, it's shot in a way where you could very easily just have a guy walk around it and like blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. It's interesting.
I think it speaks to some words. It's almost kind of like a postmodern ghost stories or things like that. Or the like when I think about this story in general, when to get ready for this, I like looked up different ghosts. I typed in ghost stories that I've heard. And then I tried to find like their roots and trace it back as far as I could. And this was the only one that I typed in where like I couldn't really find much like that was like this. And then I remembered, it's like, okay, at the time I was told this story, it was probably like 2000, 2001, somewhere around there. And what else was a big thing back then was zombies. So it's like zombies started whenever zombie
this
movies.
This is a zombie
was,
ghost for sure.
It's a zombie
it was like,
ghost.
Yeah, it was like Shaun of the Dead kind of that era,
like
right?
That kind of thing. High energy zombies. Like before, zombies were just kind of like this, but then like to have like high energy running zombies and stuff like that. A zombie that would slam itself against a thing. So I wonder now. I'm like, I bet that story was a. That was the zombie twist on it that makes it a little different from like a traditional Civil War ghost story where it's like there's some lights out in the woods or, you know, the lights turning off and on in a house or the, you know, the unsettled spirits from the Civil War.
So here's something that kind of turned my head in the realm of, you know, am I trying to define ghosts? I don't know. You know, probably. I heard this story and I don't know how credible it is that, but like when we die, there's a huge burst of electromagnetic energy that can be measured. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I'm like, okay, who's measured it? I haven't seen it. I didn't go past hearing that. So this Gettysburg area, because listen, I'm wearing my GWAR shirt tonight because I recently went to Richmond, Virginia to on a GWAR video and like, yeah, they're fucking
that's awesome.
One of the biggest bands out of there.
I just went to, what's his name? Is it Dave Grecke? Is that his name? The singer. I just went to his grave not that long ago with my fiance. I took her to Hollywood Cemetery. There is, it's not Hollywood Forever. It's Hollywood Cemetery. And it has like a president buried there. It's super old. It's been there for like 300, 400 years, but it's really pretty. But he's buried there. So there's there's a GWAR bar in Richmond, but then there's also his grave is like, it looks really crazy. It looks like a Nordic god is buried there. There's just so many people lighting candles and stuff.
Did a big ghost of like a giant cock like shoot cum all over you?
Yeah. Oh my god, those are balls. Ghost balls. But I, you know, when I was there, I don't know shit about the East Coast. I forgot the Civil War has like shaped the East Coast. And like every state park is that, and everybody's got a ghost story. And these, you know, there's all these people reenacting. So I'm like, could some reenactors be mistaken for ghosts? Cause they're like passed out drunk in a field and then like woke up and they're walking home. Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny. So my dad's from Connecticut, but we lived in Virginia. And when I played Little League, all the other coaches were like kind of local Southern dudes. And we were the only family that didn't have an accent. There was one weekend where my dad was in charge of scheduling all the games for Little League. And there was basically one weekend where we couldn't have any games because there was a reenactment and all the coaches were like playing their, playing their ancestors in this thing.
Yeah.
But it was like one of those culture shock things for my dad. I think it's like,
what are you guys doing?
What?
But so one interesting thing I heard was like in that Gettysburg area, there were, I guess there were a lot of ghost stories before that. Cause there was like a lot of death that happened there before with some First Nations people. And this is an interesting take that I would like to look into, but that whole area has got black granite bedrock, which has a lot of quartz in it. And so the whole idea is that somehow quartz crystals can store information. We use them to store information. And so maybe this flash, this death flash is so bright that it's an easy thing to be stored that could be replayed through these crystals.
Now you're talking my language. That's like the kind of thing that I can get behind.
And I'm like, so this area has more ghosts because of the bedrock.
Or just weirdness or whatever. Like there's a famous story in Hillsborough, North Carolina. There was an article someone wrote in the Bitter Southerner that's called We Salt a Nanny. And it's about this like super haunted place that has all these crazy things happen where the people that lived in this house like saw everything from like Native Americans to ancient looking spirits to Civil War soldiers to Revolutionary War soldiers. They just see everything. And then what they found out was that doing research that there was a pathway alongside it that had been there since like prehistoric times that not only humans but animals had been using since prehistoric times this pathway there. So it's like just this history laden concentrated land. I totally believe that something in the soil could. I don't know how, right? or what the science is. But
look at the biggest places where death happened. Are there ghost stories there? Are there 9/11 ghost stories? Like I kind of, maybe there is, but I guess there's not a lot of people were working that day. But I'm trying to think of like big tragic moments.
Yeah,
that don't have ghost stories attached.
It's like,
to
do you only feel that if you're flying a helicopter through the airspace where it used to be? Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's interesting. I don't know. Really quick sidebar. Do you know this about Wilshire Boulevard? That Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, where the La Brea Tar Pits are, that apparently has been a roadway since prehistoric times. Like woolly mammoths would walk exactly along that path that now Wilshire Boulevard is on. And
that's cool.
Yeah, that also makes sense why the La Brea Tar Pits are right near Wilshire.
I mean, it feels like the elephants shouldn't have walked straight into the tar pits.
Also, is it weird it's the La Brea Tar Pits, but if you translate it, it's the tar pits? Yeah. La Brea means the tar.
The tar pits.
Yeah, I always wanted to write a movie called The Happy, but it's just based in Los Feliz. Because that's what it means, right? Los Feliz.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know that Feliz Navidad means Merry Christmas. Does it mean Merry? But Happy like Christmas. Whatever.
There's no place in LA that has more confusion over its pronunciation than Los Feliz, Los Feliz. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you say, Willie?
I started out saying Feliz. Hold on, I started saying it wrong on purpose to piss both sides off.
Well, then you can't help.
Feliz, Los Feliz.
Well, but you know the dumbest thing about it is then it turns out that it's named after a man, and he pronounced his last name Feliz a certain way. I don't know if it was. I don't even know the other
Spanish
pronunciation.
like if you were speaking Spanish, the correct pronunciation would be Los Feliz. But we say
Feliz.
I think a lot of people
I think what I read was, well, no, it's named after this guy and he said Feliz. So it's technically Feliz. Yeah, but like fuck you, because there's a Los in front of it. So like I don't know.
It's confusing.
Los Feliz. Yeah. Los
While we're talking about like regions and their types of ghost story archetypes, I asked the smartest person I know, ChatGPT. I asked it, what are kind of the archetypes of types of ghost stories that vary from region to region in the U.S.? And it said some interesting stuff, so I want to throw this at you. So the South obviously has a lot of restless spirits of war and slavery. So it's like dominant themes are kind of like unfinished business, guilt, ancestral plans, and honor. And then typical figures are Confederate soldiers, or enslaved souls, or runaway slaves, or haints, which is something I can get into later. But then if you move into places like the Southwest, you get more stories about UFOs and skinwalkers and desert portals. And the more dominant themes are about surveillance or displacement or shape-shifting identity. But whereas if you get to the Pacific Northwest, it's the themes are more about vanishing or wilderness mysticism or transformation. Or like if you're in Los Angeles, the thing we hear a lot about is like serial killers. I feel like I hear more stories about like the scary, like campfire stories in California are more about like serial killers and a killer in the woods or a cult in the woods, yeah. Mysterious cult in the woods than anything else.
What did it say about the mountain region? Like because
Colorado, because yeah. I knew you're both Colorado boys, so I specifically asked in Colorado, haunted frontiers, ghost miners, and mountain madness. So yeah. Dominant themes are isolation, greed, nature's indifference, altitude induced madness.
Mountain madness. I just laugh at that term, like
mountain madness. Yeah,
is that just? What does that mean? Is that like cabin fever?
Kind of. It's funny. Even before, I always had a theory in Virginia. Like I knew a lot of people that would go to Virginia Tech, which is deep in the mountains in Virginia. And this is just my personal belief, is that I noticed a lot of people would kind of lose it out there and then like move back home before they
really.
I don't know why. I think it's just the isolation and mountains that just. But isolation, that could happen anywhere, but it was like a specific thing. Right. And my friend group used to call it the mountain crazies. So it's like, oh yeah, he went to Tech and he got the mountain crazies. Now he lives back at home. I don't know. And I guess Colorado is like that on crack.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, for the miners and stuff, yes. I don't know.
Well, Donner parties out there. I mean, guess people like going mad and having to resort to eating each other, that kind of thing.
Right.
It says here, why is the legacy of gold rush towns, deadly avalanches, and remote mountain life fuel stories of those who came seeking fortune and never left physically or spiritually? And then the altitude and
so
wilderness
it's losers,
place.
Like loser ghosts. In Colorado, we have a bunch of loser ghosts who just think, like did not do anything with their lives.
They always hoping to find my life.
I think it's
finding
like,
some gold.
I feel like it's like people taking a chance and then getting lost in the sauce and just they're like, there's nothing but mountains and no one's here to help me. And then the altitude also screws
with
people. And
animals that can eat you.
Animals that can eat you. It's just much dangerous, much more. Yeah, it's dangerous territory. So
I just think like, you know, this whole thing, I like that perspective that these communities are seeing the ghosts that sort of like represent them, or they're afraid of their environment in a certain way, because I don't buy ghosts at all. Like I don't buy ghosts because like you said, Wilshire should be crawling with wildebeest ghosts, you know?
I will say the most ghost stories I hear are things like the Wilshire Rebel or like in mid-city or something. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of ghost stories that happen around there. Well, most ghost stories are like about like, you know, Hollywood Towers or anywhere where Marilyn Monroe once lived. There's ghosts.
It's a lot of Black Dahlia stuff, but that's all 1920s kind of
Yeah, but that's like when LA happened. So it's like that's where most of your ghosts would be from. I remember when I first moved out here and people were like, oh, yeah, this place is old. It was built in the 50s. It's super haunted. That is a joke. It's like, and it's like we have stuff where like I had multiple friends who lived in houses that were field hospitals for the Confederates. And they would like, I remember this like one friend, his grandma would tell us so many stories of just her house. And there was one day where she saw a woman in an antebellum dress just walk through and like nod at her. And then it just walked into a wall. And so she got a paranormal expert. She spoke to them and they said, well, that would only happen if there used to be a doorway there. Otherwise, they can't just pass through walls. It has to be because there used to be an opening there. And sure enough, she like l they figured out their old original floor plans, and there was an opening where she saw this woman disappear through. I don't know if I necessarily believe everything she said, and sometimes as time goes on, I'm like, maybe she just wasn't mentally that great, because she had a lot of stories of like seeing like Confederate soldiers and stuff. And but I also chalk up a lot of this stuff, I think, to like sleep paralysis. Because a lot of anytime someone says like, oh yeah, I saw a ghost, I woke up in the middle of the night, like my first thought goes to like, oh, you had a really great dream or a really super intense dream that.
But it's interesting though, if there was a doorway there and this ghost is walking through a doorway, like what does that mean for us? Like, how do we wrap our heads around it? Like, if we agree, okay, yeah, your grandma saw a ghost and walked into the wall where a door used to be, does that give it credence? And how does it change your life at that point? Or, do you just continue to say, no, whatever?
I was terrified to go to their house because, and I would never stay the night there. He was like a good friend, but his house just creeped me out so much because every time we went there, she would tell us more ghost stories and like she had so many. But the way she would tell them is she was also like a substitute teacher. So like I knew her as a substitute teacher that was like a super chill, nice substitute teacher. And then for her to be like telling me like the most frightening shit I've ever heard in my life. Like she one time like walked into her kitchen and she said there were several bloody soldiers all just like sitting at her kitchen table, looking at her, and that they had to like take her to the like hospital because she like had, couldn't collect herself. And so I'm like,
Fucking A, man.
She had the vapors.
yeah, she had the vapors. It's like I don't know if like how much of that is, you know, is that a in Celtic mythology, they call them thin places, where it's like maybe it's a place where the boundary between past and present and everything is just a little thinner than other places. Yeah, I don't know if that's a romantic concept or a scientific
It might be
concept or.
romantic if you like the idea of. Well, okay, so then you would have to look at it as like it's a recording, right? It's a
That's
recording of
sort of how I
time,
feel. Like my
right?
those are
But
the ghost stories I tend to
here's the
believe.
weird thing, though, is that we're doing the thing that describes our how we make it sense culturally is we have to add science to it.
Yeah, that's our version of a ghost story.
Yeah, and that's what I've been struggling with is like this idea that like I believe the things that have been told to me since I was a baby or whatever, but then you get older and you start to realize that like people have been lying to you your entire life. So why wouldn't they be lying about this? Because it's been lied to them. It's I'm not saying that they're doing it in any kind of like
Malicious
nefarious
or
way, right? But like I'm so closed off about ghosts.
Well, it's that
But
it
like
makes sense.
why? Like
You
why?
well, it
Just
makes
because I've
sense. You
heard.
I feel like it's you're because Colorado isn't necessarily the most history laden place. There's like frontier
Right.
history and you have like Donner Party stuff and stuff,
Yeah, but
but
that's
that.
up in the hills. Like we're from a town that like has none of that, you know?
Yeah, but it's the same thing as like, you know, my fiance is from Texas where she went to a lot of like tent revivals and evangelical stuff growing up. And so she doesn't know any ghost stories. Like when we talk, I was like, do you have any ghost stories? She's like, no, I don't have any. But she's from the middle of nowhere, Texas, where there's not a lot happens, but she had tons of possessions
Yeah, and
and
you're not supposed to believe in
possession
ghosts.
story. You're not supposed to believe, so possession stories and exorcism stories. Whereas I growing up, it's like maybe I heard that stuff, but I didn't. I never grew up in, I grew up Quaker, which is not like really a demon fearing religion. It's more like a let's all love each other kind of religion. So it's, I've never been affected by possession stories. I just like don't buy them. So probably in the same way you don't buy ghost stories. Like if something really freaky happened, my first thought would go to like maybe it was a ghost, or even if, though I don't necessarily believe in it, but for other people they're like maybe that person's just possessed. It just depends what your cultural background is.
Yeah, I've never seen anything freaky. And if I did, I explained it away through science and the scientific method. I formed a hypothesis and I tested my hypothesis.
I've only had one thing happen to me that I just don't really have a firm explanation for, and that I put it in the category of maybe a ghost story or maybe an incredible coincidence, which is, so I was living in this really old house in Wilmington, North Carolina, on this is after college. I just spent a year in Wilmington, and then this house is from the 1800s. The house next to our house had this crazy history of where the servant living at that house had poisoned the family and killed them all.
That's awesome.
But the house next to us also, it was like, and I don't know exactly what year that was from, but it was from the 1800s. And it was also a creepy house because it burned at some point, and then the people that owned it just never fixed it. So it just sat there dormant, like half charred all the time. So I was in my house where I lived, and one time I'm downstairs and I'm waiting for my girlfriend at the time to get ready. We're about to go out somewhere. As I'm downstairs, I'm whistling that song, that song In the Pines. It's like Kurt Cobain sings it on MTV Unplugged, but it's this song that I got from Leadbelly, and it's basically it's an old slave song.
It
I'm
was
just
either
like,
Leadbelly or Mudhoney, right?
it's like, my girl, don't lie to me. Tell me, where did you sleep last night? That song.
My girl, yeah,
There you go.
that's my Kurt Cobain. I think it's a pretty good one.
You brought me right back to the 90s. But the but I was whistling that song. Then my girlfriend comes down and she's like, all right, I'm ready. And then so I stopped whistling. And then in my house, I heard the next three notes of the song whistle
Oh, fuck.
in the house. And then so she comes down and I was like, did you whistle? And she's like, no, you were whistling. And I was like, I didn't whistle that last part. And we looked at each other and we're like, okay, let's go. And we walked outside, and then the street light in front of my house turned off. And then we're like, oh my God, oh my God, like that
Fucking hate
excited scared
this.
it. And then we ran, and then I'm not kidding, the next street light went off when we went under it. And
Oh,
then
dude, double goosebumps, man.
we went off and then we're like, what was that? What was that? What was that? And I
It
slept
was
at a
Kurt.
friend's place that night. It was yeah, it was Kurt. But I mean, like the
Or it
fact
was a
that
timer, you know? Did the streetlights work on a timer?
well, yeah, the street light thing, maybe it's just a, so the Willie explanation of this is, of course, that's either some spirit from your house or from the next door neighbor's
Electrical
house. That's
interference, like shit.
that heard you whistling a song. Music is obviously a big conduit throughout time, but whatever. That it was a ghost or someone. I happened to be whistling their favorite song, so they whistled it back. But then the Wade explanation, the best I can come up with, and it doesn't even seem likely because no one was in my house and no one was near my house, is that maybe someone like half a block away happened to hear me whistling this song and recognized it from the Kurt Cobain version, and also started whistling it in the same key as I was, and then I stopped whistling and I heard just the end of them whistling.
I could buy that part,
But
but the two streetlights going out
see
is
that
fucking crazy.
how long has that song been around? Like,
it's since the 1860s.
oh, really?
It's been around a long time. So I mean, I could go into a whole thing about the origin of even that song too, of how that ties into other things, but
Well, do you want to? I mean, we could take a break and end this episode and then pick it up there.
I mean, it's up to you. I'm down. I could talk about this shit forever, but I'd be like,
I just think, I like, yeah, I
I
mean,
think
like,
I do think it's a good branch to go down.
It's a fun. I think I feel like music and ghosts is kind of a nice thing to talk about on the next. And that's the perfect kind of way into it. I don't know where it will lead, but it might be fun.
Hi, I'm Jason Gudaz. I'm a writer and filmmaker. I have a piece coming out in a thing that I can't tell you about until it happens, because I feel like if I bring it up now, then it doesn't, for whatever reason, it doesn't make it to the finish line, then I'm going to be embarrassed about it. So just trust that 95% likelihood something's happening soon and I'm going to be excited about it. Aside from that, I made a short a few years ago that went to Sundance and it was called Place, and Willie was in it and he was a very fun part of it. Still in development on a feature version of that someday in the future. I'm getting hitched this year to my lovely fiance Ariel, an incredible person. I just did a thing for The Weeknd. The Weeknd came out with his movie, and so they did a weird video installation thing, and so like I created this whole surreal, bizarre video installation for The Weeknd, and that was fun. That's like the most recent.
Radical. What are your most recent relevant things?
Oh, sorry, my socials. I have too many socials. I'm Jason Gudaz. I also run a thing called Haunted Reviews on Instagram, at Haunted Reviews, which is just I am verified on Yelp and I claim places are haunted, and so I tell kind of like mini ghost stories, basically surreal funny ghost stories. I
love them so much, man.
Yeah, you're the only other Yelp elite person I know.
All right, thanks everyone for listening to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie.
Give us a follow everywhere you follow everything. Well, Instagram.com/reallifesci-fi, YouTube.com/reallifesci-fi, and find us on Patreon, because giving us a follow helps us out. We've got different tiers. $1 a month gets you an extra episode every week. $5 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes every week. And then $8 a month, you get that, plus you buy us a drink. And we do drink, thank you.
And that's patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. You can also reach out to us if you have an idea for a topic or a guest. Just email us, wadeandwilly@gmail.com.
And Willy is always with the Y, W-I-L-L-Y.
All right. Thank you, Kevin Day, for being our executive producer. Thank you, Schraub Home Video, for... When is the video?
Yeah, you can watch the stream of this show at 4 p.m. Pacific at schraubhomevideo.com. There's a lot of shows on there. Usually starts at 2:30 Pacific, and then Schraub usually has a show at 8 o'clock at night.
Okay, well, thanks again for listening, and remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Real Life Sci-Fi.